We are back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. And again, I want to thank our friends over at The Social Scene. We're coming to you live from their offices. If you have a social life, please visit socialscene.me to see how they are bringing people together one event at a time. And my co-host again for the week is Peter Myerson from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Myerson, and Plout.
And Plout.
Plout, who lost a tennis game to me on Sunday, so he might be sulking this week.
I'm happy for that. It's great to be here, Jeff. It's really wonderful. It always is.
Thank you. And I should just tell you, not that anybody cares in the air, when John Plout is winning at tennis, everyone knows it. And when he's losing, he's a pleasure because he keeps his mouth shut. And he lost, so that was good. Our next guest, serial guest on Radio Entrepreneurs. We wish we had him more. I keep telling him that, and it's tough. Because we lose him because he's such a busy guy. Toby Stapleton from the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, also SNEEF. And you're going to talk to us today about how companies can work with universities, correct?
That's right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Peter. It's great to be back on the show. And you know, as you know, I'm a passionate advocate for all things entrepreneurship in southeastern Massachusetts through my role as the director for the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at UMass Dartmouth. And as chair of the Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum, I can tell you that.
And a professor, aren't you?
And occasionally I teach, right? So it is busy, and I can tell you we've got a perfect storm of entrepreneurship activity as well as support activity happening within Southern New England, and including those gateway cities of Fall River and New Bedford. So certainly a lot to talk about there, but for the Radio Entrepreneurs audience, I think what may be interesting is to talk about how to work with a university in order to get some assistance in growing your small business or getting started as an entrepreneur.
I think that's a great topic. I mean, I can speak from the point of view of my practice that all the entrepreneurs that I represent are dying to understand how they work with the university.
Well, how to get high quality intellectual assistance at a low cost.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, you know, that's exactly what a university can bring, because you've got a host of resources, not the least of which is the faculty with areas of expertise that could benefit somebody who's just getting started, as well as students who are eager to get real-world experience. The challenge is that there is a the sort of the difference in cultures, the university setting and a entrepreneur who's just getting started. Both really don't sort of understand each other, or the entrepreneur who has never worked really in or around a university ecosystem can have trouble finding the right person or persons to help them. So the first step in that process is to develop a scope of work of exactly what you're hoping to accomplish by working with the university. For instance, when you look at a university, universities, if they're a large university, can provide assistance from engineering support to market research. And if we use an example of a company that I worked with recently who was looking to develop market research for really a technology product, and it was a new product for them. They were launching it, and they wanted to better understand what the opportunities were around the world. And so when they first came to us, the way that they framed the project up was that they were launching this very technical product, and it was unlikely that the students who were going to be involved in this had any real expertise in this particular industry. And then on top of that, the scope of the project when they first came to us was the entire globe. So for a very technical product and for a very technical customer base, which are scientific institutions and researchers around the world, it would be difficult to really accomplish that in a semester. So what we did was we worked with the company to understand what the limitations were in working with the university, and that you've got, again, that this project is a limited project. It'll happen over the course of a semester. You've got a great group of students, but they probably don't have industry expertise. So what we need to do is to pare the project down to make it manageable. And so what that project started as a global market research project ended up being pared down to two markets, specific markets that the company thought they had potential in. And the end result was the company at the end of the semester had a market research project that not only identified market trends within those two countries, but also identified the key buyers of that equipment in those two markets. So again, if they had gone in asking for the globe, they probably would have gotten a wide-ranging report and probably wouldn't have been specific. But by framing up a scope of work that helped to one, pare it down to make it manageable, made the end project something that they actually, it was actionable and something that they were able to build on. And that's key as well, not only developing a scope of work, but also identifying faculty who can assist with this. Because typically, there's not one place to turn to at a university or one phone number to call to get that kind of help.
I mean, that's a great story, but you know, let me get further down into the weeds. So when I represent people, they typically don't even know who to call.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, there's
that's
this,
a good point.
There's
right.
this university. I mean, you're telling a great story, but who do they call?
That's right.
Even when my clients ask me, they'll say to me, who do I call? And a lot of times I'll say, I don't know.
that's right, yeah.
And frankly, as many times as I've done, and I've actually gone to some of your seminars down at Dartmouth, because I think they really
right.
have been high-quality seminars.
You've called.
Who do you call?
That's right, yeah.
Ghostbusters.
Well, one is... I called Jeff.
So networking, as we all know here around this table, networking is really key to a lot of things. And by attending a Southern New England Entrepreneurs Forum meeting or other event where faculty, if you meet a faculty member at an event like that, that is a good indication that that person is not only willing to work with the outside business community, but they probably have some experience as well. So networking is key, but also identifying getting back to framing up the scope of the project will help you identify what department you'll be working with on any campus. So if it's market research, that's typically the marketing department. And it may require a number of tries to find the right faculty member who returns your phone calls or returns your email, because not all faculty at a university, more and more colleges and universities have a mandate to introduce real-world projects into the classroom. And so even with that, not all faculty members are interested in the applied side of the house. So, you know, actually working with a company to develop a market research project. So it may require a number of phone calls or emails to faculty members. And one stop could be the department chair. So if you identify, we have a company right now who is developing a product, and they're working with a group of engineering students as part of a senior capstone project. And what they did was identify the faculty members who had experience working with marine robotics, and they reached out to them and said, essentially, hey, we would like to work with your students to develop a new product. This seems to be a good senior capstone project. And after a couple of tries, they found the right faculty member to work with, and that faculty member then formed up a team of senior graduate engineering students to work with the company in developing and really tweaking a new product for the market. So it is challenging for somebody who hasn't worked in a university environment before, and it's frustrating for the entrepreneur who is sort of busy running the day-to-day. But by finding the two things that happen, one is, you know, by finding that right person on campus, it can help you to get the free or low cost assistance that you need. But the second is you develop a relationship where that faculty member, when they are framing up the next semester's projects, will think of you first in terms of integrating that market research, that product design, or product development project into to the next semester.
That's sort of a slower mode than most of my clients want, obviously.
That's right. Yep.
You know,
what I was wondering about, the whole timing.
That's
can
right.
be an issue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I have somebody calling or trying to find some help, you know, they want it now, they don't want it right. next semester.
I had a client text me 26 times yesterday right. on a project they wanted done this week.
Right.
That there's, you know, just clients, you know, they have no sense of, I always say this to them, clients have no sense of the clock.
Right. right?
Well, only when it works for them.
Right.
And
yeah.
Usually it doesn't, because they break. They usually get things done wrong because they're more concerned with deadline versus quality.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right. And you know, as you know, I'm new to the university environment. You know, having worked in support roles, I've worked with entrepreneurs for most of my career and have been a consultant, and most clients or companies want something yesterday or at the most by the end of the week. Tomorrow's fine, but the end of the week is always
last week.
That's right. Yeah. So that really gets into working to understand, you know, timelines, because, you know, that we get companies all the time that contact us mid-semester who want something done in the next week or so. And from a university standpoint, that project isn't going to fit with certainly a classroom project, but there are other opportunities as well. Is that if there's some funding available, and by some funding, not a lot of funding is needed to bring on board an intern or a student to help with a project or and it could be a specific project like market research or some general assistance. The universities have really cracked down, for good reason, on what they consider an internship for credit or even not for credit. The opportunities that students have to engage with the business community obviously is recognized as a good thing. But what companies have to realize is that that in most cases you have to provide some funding to the student to have them work on your project. An example of that, you know, we just had a company working on a vertical axis wind turbine who moved into the Center for Innovation Entrepreneurship. And they realized, so they moved in March, the semester started in February. They need help with product design. You know, they've got a patent on their prototype. They need to scale this up to determine whether or not, you know, what the electrical production capabilities are going to be for this wind turbine. So they just hired six engineering students for the next 2 months to work on their project, and their goal is to have those students help, but at the end of the semester they'll select one or two of the best students who will continue with the company post May. And these students are sophomore and juniors, so the company will get at least 1 or 2 years out of the student, again at a rate that they couldn't, they couldn't go out and hire an experienced engineer at that rate. And what they're getting is somebody who's eager to learn, who's teachable, and has some skills. So they've got a couple years of engineering.
Well, what you're basically saying is you got to know what you want and manage the project properly.
That's right.
Don't, you know, if you give a project to university, you don't want to give it over without project management.
That's absolutely right.
Right, yep. And I think that's a better way to manage it. You've got to manage your own expectations.
That's right.
And the process. You know, again, I'll say it again. You're never here enough. We don't have you enough. We take you more. We take your stories more. I mean, you're in the middle of the state and the state's investment in education and entrepreneurship. You know, I think you're doing a great job. I don't know anybody who doesn't know you. I mean, it's just you must get around. I don't even know if your wife would recognize you. But if someone wants to find you who doesn't know you already, how would they do that?
Sure. The easiest is the website, and that's UMassD, as in Dartmouth, .edu/innovate. And you can also find us on Facebook at the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We've done a great job of rehabbing our Facebook page over the last couple months, and so we are now posting all of our upcoming events as well as our activities on our Facebook page.
That's great. I'm writing down the notes. As you're doing it, I'm going to do what you just asked, so I had to write it down. I want to thank you again. That was Toby Stapleton from the Center of Innovation and Entrepreneurship. I'm sitting with Peter Morrison from the law firm of Cohn, Rasnick, Meyerson, and Plout. And yes, John Plout again.
That was a great interview.
He did lose on Sunday, the tennis match. And my name is Jeffrey Davis from MAGE. And again, I want to thank our friends from the social scene. Don't forget, people, if you want to know how you're going to arrange your social life for the next 10 years, take a look at socialscene.me and see the future now. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.